All right, let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. And they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code BROS. Tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. They're sleepy time gummies. Knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling amazing the next day. And their epic euphoria gummies, well, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your shitty mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere else, for that matter. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immune supports, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS. And they can ship to almost every single state in the United States of America. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off with their first order with code BROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Browse their amazing selection of functional gummies and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use the promo code BROS at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. So there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinkingbros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You've created a cool indoor retreat. Now let Ultimate Heating and Cooling provide the quiet and energy-efficient comfort you can depend on with a range of innovative cooling solutions like the Carrier Infinity Heat Pump that delivers premium home heating and cooling performance. Learn more at ultimateheatingandcooling.com. You make it a home. Let Ultimate Heating and Cooling make it more comfortable. Rebates, incentives, and financing are available for a limited time. Ultimate Heating and Cooling and Carrier. Turn to the experts.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah! Party wolves! Party wolves!
Tom Pacino for sheriff.
You and the fucking party wolves, dude.
Tom Pacino for sheriff.
Tom Pacino for sheriff. El Paso. Thanks. El Paso County. Jeez. Tom Pacino.
Party what wolves. Fucking partywolves.com, dude.
Oh, is it God, a, hey, get me started.
Did somebody buy that site, by the way? Did they buy it for the
no,
movie, Jared?
It's some it's some bullshit site right now. Like, it's somebody bought it and, like, put bullshit up.
I wonder if somebody had it before and then just used it. Whatever it was. I did enjoy partywolves.com, and we'll get into that. But first of all, hey, welcome, Rocco, Mr. Matthew
hello.
Best.
Hello.
Hey.
It's been a pleasure to see y'all. I've just been wondering what y'all up to.
Jared, did you eat this episode? Last episode, you were sleepy as fuck.
Yeah. No, I haven't eaten yet. I haven't eaten yet. I'm going to actually, Roz, I got this one for you right there.
He said he was going to slow down.
Is that your thing? It's just to be drunk in every episode
Apparently
now?
Apparently not.
He's going to throw up in my living room.
Wow, he's chugging that.
That's something fun, Ross.
I've never thrown up. You've never seen me throw up.
I've never seen you throw up. I haven't.
No.
I haven't.
I actually haven't.
You know what?
We've never seen over me.
I've shit in the yard.
Exactly. And you know what? By the way, because of your behavior on the last episode, Jared, I got a text from your wife. She says you pissed on the couch and blamed it on the cat. And she caught you in that lie. She caught you in that lie. You tried to keep it going for a long time.
No.
But finally, you were out of options, and you had to admit that it was your pee.
God damn it. Did she really? How the fuck do you know that? Like, how do you
how
really
do you think
know that?
I know that?
Like, this was an argument that happened 2 days
on the
ago.
Show.
Like, this was a big argument. Like, I was like, look, when we moved to Utah, I'm not bringing the fucking cat. She ruins all our furniture. The couch smells like pee. And then she goes to clean the couch. She's like, that was human piss on there, and it was a lot. And I was like, oh, yeah, the night before I left for Salt Lake, I forgot I pissed on the cat.
What's wrong with you?
But you blamed it on the cat all of this time. You blamed it on your poor
cat. We need some manpers on him.
What?
Some manpers.
Hold on, you're dumping out gallons all over your IKEA furniture.
You should let the Drinking Bros, so Rocco, myself, and Ross, be your man life coaches for like 3 weeks.
You
1 month,
it.
Bro.
Yeah.
No.
So it's like
I don't want to change.
Need it for the company's success.
or your marriage, whichever one, if you keep pissing on couches.
No, because she knew. I mean, I pissed the bed the first night I hung out with Matt.
Bro,
and she was pregnant then.
Here's the deal.
pissed on your pregnant wife? Is that
yeah.
what you're
saying? Here's the deal.
The very first night Matt and I ever met each other, I pissed myself.
I didn't know that. That's a good start to friendship.
Here's the facts. She knows all your lies because she knows that you pissing on everything anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Like, she just plays.
That's
along.
The thing. Like,
she wants to hear how funny your stories
get. What am I
hiding
now?
Yeah.
Like,
She's cleaned up gallons and gallons of your urine over the years. Like, how did you think you could get away by saying it was the cat?
I think she enjoys
the
story.
Honestly, I forgot. And then, like, so I was sitting on the couch and I was like, I fucking hate the goddamn cat. She made the couch stink again. And then when Caitlin was cleaning it up, I was like, wait, You're right. I did wake up wet that morning, and I just put a blanket over the couch.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. You fucking RIP'd your own couch. Like, you pulled the blanket over it and just
I just put a blanket.
I love how you were ready to yell at the cat.
No, but
tactical
kitty. Here's the funniest thing. So Paul, who is our kind of like managing director of the Freedom Fest right now, he's making sure everything's taken care of. He watches my house whenever we're always away. So she, after I had already admitted to peeing on the couch, she sends him a message after he had left. He flew back to Tennessee, like after being at her house for close to 2 months, 60 days. Like, hey, JT told me that you pissed our couch. And he was like, he just
so
accepted
funny.
It. He was just like, oh, I'm sorry. She goes, motherfucker, he did it. And I know that you know that he did it because you were here that night. And now you're covering for him. So he got
shit.
In trouble.
That's
man, you blamed it on a cat. You've pissed on your pregnant wife. You've pissed on an alarm clock.
I've pissed on Rocco.
You got close. He got close.
And
he pissed on the edge of the bed.
I tried to piss on my friend Peyton Canepa, who also listens to the show. he could tell you about that.
This motherfucker.
It was in a camper.
Pisser, dude.
It was in a camper in Washington State. Like, yeah. It was really weird. Well, I drank a whole bottle of NyQuil the night before.
We told the story where you pissed on the alarm clock next to me, and then part of the bed, and then I chased you out.
And that's why people wonder why I always have my own hotel room. I'm like, dude, we'll get two beds. I'm like,
no,
I'm good, man. I will be naked.
Well, you probably looked at that clock, Rocco, and it said 2:00 fat in the morning. It probably would have said. Let's get to some sponsors, kids.
Let's fucking do it.
Damn
sponsors.
It.
They make this fucking first shit possible. Dog.
First off the bat is, it's Sofleets. It's SOFLETE.com. Man, if you want to train like a champion and not like a Jared, go to Sofleet.com. You can train like a Navy SEAL. They've got personalized workouts. They've got some of the finest supplements in the world. Little known fact, they help you stop urination. So in the middle of the night, you can plug up with some Sofleet.com. you can keep your shit going all night. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. Get 10% off of everything in the whole fucking place. If you want to be as strong as Mr. Matt Best, go hop on Sofleet.
Well, I don't know how strong I am, but we love those guys over there, man. They're good dudes. They're all seasoned guys that have been through a lot of shit, so they're just spreading knowledge and helping out the community. So, yeah, Sofleet, we love you guys, and check them out. Man, it's at least worth a look.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, it is. And I heard they're the reason that Jared got down to 203. That's the rumor.
Yeah.
That's the rumor floating around town.
Brent and I Brent and I had a long chat at the Veteran Business Alliance meeting, and he motivated me.
Good. If you need any other motivation, go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Put a little StrikeForce in that body of yours. Yeah. StrikeForceEnergy.com. It's the tastiest little energy drinks that come in a little tiny tin pouch. You can put them in waters, liquors. Coffee if you want. You can snort it. You can take it rectally.
Strikeforce and coffee would be dangerous, dude. That would be like a T-Rex Velociraptor fight. You don't know what the
like
fucking outcome's going to be.
Punching another mountain. Exactly. It would be a fucking... Boy.
It would be like your four friends need a chair and you turn one chair upside down and said, sit down. It gets fucking weird.
Hey, dude, it would be like your foreskin turning into a five skin. It just grows an extra inch where you're like, oh, god damn, I have an extra inch of foreskin tonight.
Yeah.
Because you drank some Strikeforce.
Drop the O-R-E and add a O-U-R, foreskin. Okay, anyway, so back to Strikeforce.
Yeah.
We got weird there, Ross.
Remember.
Foreskin and
remember
7 years
what we talked
ago.
About,
go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. They ship anywhere in the entire world. We have a subscription. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off of every single order for the rest of your life. And there was this
guy, Ross, named Paul Pot that used to use a lot of aluminum.
Oh, yeah.
And cans are also made out of aluminum. So we put down the can. Because Paul Pot is a genocidal fuckhead.
We kick the can and we use StrikeForceEnergy.com, dude. Man, I'm hopped up on it tonight. I got a little of this vodka tonight.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
That was a fucking good dinosaur sound.
Hey, listen, I've been known to do some ADR animal noises, okay?
Or sex noises. No one knows that you did all the sex noises.
Do not give it away, Jared. Do not give that one away because it'll ruin it for the whole.
I'm sorry. I said I was sorry.
Yeah.
So I was essentially, we were fucking.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
That's so hot, dude.
What?
What? Excuse me?
I feel like, hey, if you got a friend who's about to fucking give up some info, go to TartarusOrdinance.com and blow that motherfucker away. The best home defense ammunition in the biz. They got home defense ammunition. They got a little pew pew for the range. They got some fucking arms there, dude. They're dealing firearms up in that motherfucker.
Fucking arms.
Yeah.
We like to call it a registered FFL or firearms black market.
It's really just a buff arm with a fucking like dildo for a hand. It's a fucking arm.
What? What is that hand gesture you're doing?
Hey, Rocco, can you pull Jared out of that rabbit hole he's in over there? I'd appreciate it.
I'm posting his weird hand gestures on my Snapchat because he's strange as shit. Let me see that.
You're still using Snapchat after Instagram flipped. You're still using it.
I'm still using Snapchat.
What you should do is you should Snapchat some Tataris ordinance when a motherfucker wishes he could, and you say, no, you cannot, bitch.
You say, no, you cannot. Get a little TartarusOrdinance.com. That is Tartarus Ordnance. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of everything. That's ammunition, that's guns, all of it, man. Tartarus hooks the shit up, man. I fucking love Kenny Gunter and the boys over there.
The next one is
a sponsor that's near and dear to Rocco's heart. That's WarfighterTobacco.com.
Yes.
By the way, those are some of the best guys to party with on the planet. I fucking love those guys.
Hey, they always bring a fucking basket of goddamn cigars too, don't they? Fuck.
Mm.
They live that life, dude. And if you're getting cigars for any occasion, go to WarfighterTobacco.com. They are the finest, tastiest hand-rolled cigars from the Dominican Republic, made with fresh Cuban seeds. They're 100% combat veteran owns. They're badasses. Real men use hookahs. No, they don't use hookahs. Come on. They smoke cigars, motherfucker.
Dude, that's the same thing. I said this a couple episodes ago whenever we went to Kit Cope's wedding, but literally... when we walked up, and they're probably pro fighters, I don't know what they were, but they were in their cute little suits smoking a giant fucking vape, and I was like, I am not hanging out with you tonight. Just the whole...
It could have been.
You vape, bro? You're hardcore.
Dude, do you even vape, bro?
But, like, I'm not even saying I'm cooler than them, because, like, that's personal preference and opinion on whatever culture you exist in, but, like...
It is a little weird, bro,
you want to fucking have my vanilla-scented mint fuck? I just can't get on board, man.
I can't either.
I like my friends to be hard, where it's like, yeah, you're drinking you know, scotch
that,
out of a fucking
that reminds
right
me
now,
of that jar. That reminds me of that bar that we all had to hang out with prior to the DC or the Walter Reed screening.
Oh,
where it was
fuck.
Everybody was like in suits and they were all just talking about stupid shit,
just getting
like,
angry.
Oh god, yeah. It's just like, oh, this is so fake. This is so.
So yeah, exactly. So moral of the story is, kids, drink. Hey, smoke some cigars. Be a real fucking man. Go to warfightertobacco.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of everything. And if you're smoking cigars, you need a fine piece of literature to sit down on the toilets, outside, on the roof of your house, wherever the fuck you are. Pick up A Night She Cries While He Rides the Steed. The first ever romance novel for dudes. It's the funniest book ever written. If you like the writing in Range 15 or Airplane or any Mel Brooks movie, pick up this fucking book. It'll change your life. Go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, wherever, every .com you can imagine, it's there.
Other than Walmart, Ross.
Other than Walmart, because there's nudity and violence in it. Fuck Walmart, so they wouldn't put it in stores. But Mr. Ross Patterson, the genius himself, does the narration in the book, and that's available on Audible.com and Amazon as well.
Well, I will say this, Ross. When you're reading that book, you do need to get naked, because you don't want to start naked, because something about ripping a t-shirt off is very manly. I'm going to throw out Article 15 Clothing, art15clothing.com out there, which is the apparel company us three assholes are sitting here that own. And, you know, pro-gun, pro-veteran, the whole nine.
Pro-everyone,
you know.
About 3 years ago, a young man sent me a bunch of Article 15 shirts.
Probably a Jared Taylor, you know. Sent it to
T-Bone.
First company we ever owned as business owners collectively. And then we went on to have another store called DrinkingBrosPodcast.com where we sell all the merch for this show and a lot of lovely stuff. I'm trying to steal the sponsors. I suck at this. I don't know how you do it, Ross.
No, you do. Dude, you do great. Look, we've branched out like a Christmas tree. And there's a lot of fucking ornaments. I mean, on that tree. Black Rifle Coffee.
We're like Rihanna, dude. We shine bright like a diamond.
Goddamn right
like
we do.
Diamond.
Can you
Goddamn right we do. And so tonight's episode, Jared, a lot of people after our last episode were talking about the Party Wolves, partywolves.com.
Dude, it's so funny. It's so fucking
it
funny.
By the way, so it got me to thinking, because I had a roommate in college who had a rental service company that was fucking weird. If you could have a weird rental service like partywolves.com, what would it be, Jared?
It would be donkeys by the hour. Easily donkeys by the hour.
I think donkeys by the hour exists. I did rent a donkey one time.
I've looked quite a few times, and I found it's far more cost-effective to purchase a donkey than it is to like rent one. So when I priced it out, it was $120 an hour with a minimum of 3 hours booked. But to purchase a male, 2-year-old donkey was around $300. So
I love that this is a conversation.
So Jared, by the way, I had to rent a donkey once on location. I was shooting in New Jersey at the end of January, which is fucking freezing. And dude, trying to find a donkey rental service, I found a guy in upstate New York. It had to be a miniature donkey. And he drove it down, and it was fucking expensive, and he only had two. So maybe you are on to something, like if you had multiple donkeys.
I feel, we did a skit idea that we were looking at that we were, good old Rock over here, just cheering my day up. God, I got Mayweather in the face with a picture.
Dude, that hurt my stomach and my dick.
God, single Rocco is good. I like single Rocco, you know? We got lost there. No, but a donkey service. Jared,
sorry, yeah. I was showing him
very, very dark porn.
But there would be a good service because that donkey thing, like literally, what was it for? It was the SF versus MARSOC rap battle.
Yeah,
remember we did a shit ton of research trying to find
to do the donkey, like because I wanted to up on the donkey
and I wanted to rap on the riding the donkey. And dude, it was hard, especially around Las Cruces and El Paso. You would think that there would be a fucking donkey around here.
I did fight a donkey for $300 though, but it's like, what are we gonna do with it after we're done? It's like, fuck.
By the way, my rental, it was $300 an hour for that donkey.
It's cheaper to buy than it is to rent.
We can only have the donkey for 3 hours, by the way. They said after that, no lie, he gets ornery. So the owner was like, he gets real ornery, so you can only have him for 3 hours.
He gets real ornery.
We rented this fucking donkey.
That's the funniest word.
We had to pay the fucking handlers $200 a piece. And there was four of them, and I was like, man, it's a miniature donkey. Like, what the fuck? But we didn't have a choice because it was, New Jersey at the end of January. What the fuck are you going to do?
You're going to pay $300 plus handler fees for a donkey.
Exactly. You know? It was MTV's money, so we didn't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah. But,
Hey, Ross. So I actually connected with Cyrus from MTV. He does the Girls Gone Wild stuff. He actually was interested in being at episode 100 with us.
Oh, really? No shit.
Yeah, legit. Like, he was like, so my buddy connected us with us. I work with this nonprofit called Hero Sports, and we do the baseball and softball stuff. Yeah. So he loves baseball as well, and he connected to the guy from Hero Sports, connected me with him, and he was like, what do you guys do? I was like, do we do a podcast? Maybe you'd be interested. And he goes, yeah, I'd be interested in being on. I was like, well, episode 100, we're having two strangers. Fuck. He was like, that's where I want to be. And so he's down to be there with us. If we wanted him, I mean, if we don't want him, we don't have to have him.
We should bring a friend.
But I think it's kind of cool because he is the guy that runs Girls Gone Wild. I think we can flip it where we're jumping on his shit later.
Yeah,
kind of fun.
Girls Gone Wild went through numerous problems. You heard about the owner of Girls Gone Wild who got fucking tied up, right?
Oh yeah,
he was in Mexico for a while.
He had to go to prison for a little bit.
Joe Francis. Why? Joe Francis.
Why did he have to go to prison?
Ross.
Joe Francis, the owner or the guy who fucked him with the dildo? Which one are you referring to?
Wait, what?
What?
Oh, we didn't hear the same story. You guys didn't hear this then?
No.
No, I have no clue what you're talking about.
So, this is a really fucking dark one, man. So there was a bunch of...
This is great.
Dude, there was some underage girls, some other college girls who, after, you know, their segments were done, after they filmed Girls Gone Wild, they went home and told their parents. They felt bad about what they did. They got drunk or whatever. This is the story that I heard. A group of dads paid off some people to go and try to essentially fuck him up. So they duct taped him. They torched him for like 3 days and they fucked him in the ass with dildos, like Joe Francis, the owner. And he went through some really, really fucked up shit. The police ended up getting these people and they got him, but, like the humiliation and all that shit, he kind of vanished from public eye. And then all these lawsuits caught up with him. They just filed for bankruptcy and, it got super dark, but like,
wow,
you kind of knew it would in that world, right?
So what
you kind of knew it would.
Yeah, so what I think happened, I think somehow MTV is taking over that thing, because Cyrus is actually a spokesman for MTV. He does several. He used to be on The Real World back in the day, and
I know Cyrus.
Right, so he's kind of a spokesman for them. So Girls Gone Wild has not died yet, because I think MTV is kind of inadvertently taking it over at some point. So he's going to be doing all the spring break stuff.
I can totally see that, because the way the world is going, like Playboy collapsed, obviously, you guys, you know.
Yeah. Oh, we know.
Know that story, you know, very well. Girls Gone Wild has essentially collapsed. So now these people are just trying to buy the name, cash out for, you know, a couple more years or as long as they can, and then that'll be that. So it wouldn't surprise me. But by the way, MTV is about to go under.
Look at like the transitions MTV has done.
They
came out as like
their money.
Yeah, the music video source, and then they went into reality, and then now it's like, what? How do you even define?
It's not even music anymore, dude.
Yeah, it's like define Playboy that doesn't have nudes. Define MTV that doesn't have music videos.
that's the best quote ever. That's exactly it. Exactly.
But
it.
You
so Matt, maybe that could be your rental service. You could rent out nudes again. Like that.
Right.
That's who you are.
But
you
then
know,
I
rent
think
out
like,
spring breakers.
Well, as a business owner, right, you always try to define your brand. What does it stand for? What is the culture of my brand? And when you start to shift the culture of your brand to where you're just chasing paper, then ultimately you just put a shelf life on you. And that's what MTV did. That's what Playboy did.
Yep.
And I get to try to conform, but you have to make like a very, very active effort to like throw your foot down, say, this is what my brand is now, motherfuckers. Take it or leave it. Like it or not, this is what it is. And then hope for the best. But Playboy didn't do that. MTV doesn't do it. I mean, what the fuck? They do all these reality shows, and they had what was the big one that hit?
Real World.
Real World, and then they did like fucking like 20 season
Jersey,
that, and then Jersey
that,
Shores.
Yeah, Road Rules, all these, a lot of different shit, man.
But, I mean, good casting, but what does that production company stand for? I don't fucking know, man.
Dude, exactly.
Like, that's why they're going to fall away.
They started doing the fucking, 16 and Pregnant. They started going all the different little fucking reality shows you can possibly do. But the thing is, like, it went so far away from its original fucking, where its original space, then it turned into like,
they were
casting every show
reality.
with no parameters, just for viewership.
Yeah, dude.
But then even that, dude, I didn't know, not to get too dark, Ross, maybe you heard about this shit, but like 16 and Pregnant, kids were getting fucking pregnant.
Just to get on the show.
My nephew was on that
show,
bro.
That's true.
It's fucking dark.
My nephew was on Elijah Williams. Yes, that was my nephew.
You're kidding.
I swear to you, bro.
You didn't tell us this.
Oh, I didn't think it was going to pop up.
Is he Mexican? Damn.
No, dude. So he's, it's my, by marriage, my sister's.
Elijah's super white, I feel like.
No, he's Jeremy Williams' son. You know Jeremy Williams, right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah, and so that's, so inadvertently through marriage, that became my nephew, and we are still close. But he was on 16 and Pregnant, dude.
Damn.
Shit. I thought for sure, like, obviously knowing you and it being Mexican, like, isn't everybody in Mexican culture 16 and pregnant?
Pretty much.
No, I know. that show in Mexico is just kind of like, you have to bump down the age, like 8 and pregnant. No, I'm kidding.
We let you have that one.
Yeah, that was dark corners of my mind after a lot of vodka. But
what are you drinking? No, hey, you know what we haven't done in a while, Ross?
Dude, thank you.
Is
yes.
What have we been drinking? We did that when we first started the show, but I feel like because we always drink the same thing.
And I've had several messages saying like they missed that. They want to know what
they
we're
missed
drinking.
That.
I stopped
I know
vodka.
People miss it.
Yeah, this is actually a weird vibe because the last time we did it was always vodka or French press for you, Jared. Mm-hmm. So let's go around the table and then talk about what we got. Jared, what we got, buddy?
I've just been drinking whiskey on ice and then Coors Light.
What kind of whiskey?
Let's on you.
I know it's sitting right next to me. I just thought, right. Remember, it's an audio show.
It is. There it is, Jared.
Jared doesn't realize that sometimes. He's on cloud nine sometimes.
No, he's our 205 fat on, friend, you know?
He's our
205
fat friend. I'm more on cloud.
What?
Cloud. I was trying to explain him the other day, and to someone who was at the gym, I was like, you know, I met Jared, and he wasn't looking me in the eyes. And it's kind of weird. I was like, yeah, he's our version of the beautiful mind, right? Like, you're a beautiful mind. You're a genius, but a little strange.
Yeah.
He's like Wes Bentley in American Beauty.
Someone at the gym you're never going to meet, bro.
Are you sure?
I know.
But they've met me.
Yeah.
Because I've had a problem with that.
Yeah.
I've had a problem with that since we've been doing what we do. I used to be
right into people, but now you're not.
I'm scared of people.
You're 100%. So as soon as you meet
because
someone,
I'm waiting for them to
you
like.
You turn your head right away when you shake their hand and ready to walk off. And so you complete. People are like, yeah, he's a little different. He's like. Yeah, it's our beautiful mind, right? He's a genius like a motherfucker, but he's a little odd, right?
We wouldn't change you, right?
No, I love
son,
you.
Son, yeah, we you're know my, you're
but
gay,
I noticed
but we
that
love
myself.
You.
You're my like, Rain Man. Dude.
I noticed that I can't, I
You've
get
changed.
So gun shy now of people just trying to pull me in and tell me what oh, I have this idea,
right,
or I want you guys to do this.
I guess you're just
hey,
sick
could
of
you,
the,
could
the,
you talk to Matt about
sick
this?
Sick of the bullshit banter.
Yeah, yeah, so it's just like, I'm like, oh, yeah, thank you.
And yeah, dude, so he was like, yeah, I was like, I wasn't sure if he didn't like me. I was like, no, he's cool, dude. He's cool. He's just, you
it's
know.
It's funny. We went, yeah. Ross, what are you drinking, buddy?
Oh, man. I wasn't lying, by the way. So I hit the guy from Strike Force. I put a picture up that I was drinking Strike Force, LaCroix, and vodka. And he goes, nah, you need to go straight water, Strike Force, and vodka. And I was like, all right, cool. Mix that up. It's way better than having Red Bull and vodka, and that's what I'm drinking tonight. Strike Force, water, and vodka. That's what
Hell
I got.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna throw everybody for a loop today because
what do you got?
Rocco, I don't know if anybody knows that about me, but I love scotch. It's what I drink. I'm a single malt kind of guy. I don't like super peaty, but I'm a scotch guy. Rocco comes over today and he's just like, hey man, I've been drinking scotch and I'm starting to really like it, especially with a cigar. So he brought over Balvenie, which is the Caribbean cask 14 year, which is matured in rum cask, which is a very beautiful scotch.
Yeah,
right?
this is
scotch.
A gift.
I'm not saying
a
scotch, it's a bourbon, right?
It's a scotch. And it was single malt.
Yes.
It was given to me by a Arizona Drinking Bros brother. And he asked me to drink it. And so, like I said, I've been slowly trying to get my palates to agree with scotch. And so this is my second bottle of scotch.
Scotch, I think it's like a transitional thing. Like when you're fucking, I always say transitional, but when you're like 17, you hate fucking beer, but you drink it to get buzzed.
Right, right.
When you're 25, you're like, man, I just want a cold beer because I love it. Scotch is like, to me, that is my refreshment now.
I'm starting to turn.
It turns you because it's that dark liquor, I think, beats everything out because you don't have that sugary stuff when you have the mix. It's just
you know, the
a beautiful
too is
scotch.
Also the hangover. I haven't had a hangover yet.
How do you think I operate?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like,
how does Matt drink a half bottle a night?
So I did the live little podcast stream with a Drinker Bros Nerds.
Yeah.
And like I said, a friend I'm talking to, she was like, I watched you drink almost that whole bottle. And I was like, yeah, it's actually going down really smooth.
I woke up
feeling great. It was amazing. So I've definitely kind of turned a new leaf in my life, and I'm turning more like my best.
I know. Don't do that.
Yeah, look at you.
I get excited when my friends drink scotch, man, because literally, and this is not promoting my own brand, I love Leadsinger so much that that's what I drink unless I go like a Macallan 15 above.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Or like a Balvenie. I've never had this, but
it's good, fucking, right?
Very good.
It's good, yeah.
Because it's got that like scotch pop, but then that smooth finish where it's not like, hey, right. You just drank a fucking box of charcoal. And some people like peaty. Like Johnny Walker, to me, I can't stand. Even Platinum, I hate it. Blue Label, I hate it.
I don't know, dude, I hate Blue Label.
Dude, I've been given Blue Label about three different times. It's like, here's a $400 bottle of fucking scotch. Yeah, I'm like, it's a blend and it's so gross. And that's my opinion.
Yep,
but
I agree.
Hey, Matt, remember our editor, Adam Beamer, for Range 15?
Of course
all those
I did.
Scotches, and we drank that smoky scotch with
him.
I enjoyed the shit out of that, actually.
But that's refined. That was a single malt, like, it's smoky, which is peaty a little bit, but it has a good finish to it. When you have something like Johnny Walker, to me, it's literally all fucking smoke, where you don't see any of, like, the after flavors. And scotch should be, like, a three different flavors where you have like the front end, the middle end, and the finish.
I like that.
And I'm sure some Scotch
they're going to tear you apart.
Tear me apart for that, but that's I like it.
So. Personal opinions, man. Yeah. Personal. I love this, right? This yeah. What is it called? Belvine.
Balavini. Some people, I think, say Balavini. I call it Balavini.
I think it's great.
Hey, hey, Rocco, what did you do on Drinking Bros Nerds, by the way? What was it? What were you guys chatting about?
We just did a kind of like a transition speech, kind of the same thing I do right now. I'm traveling around right now. I'm getting booked everywhere for this transition speech that I do. And it's just real talk between me and the boys and just talking about, you know, my personal issues with transition and this and that. It's on Drinking Bros Live. It's still there. We keep it there on purpose for a reason. But that's all we did. We just sat there for about 3 hours talking and drinking and bullshitting. And then Mary Daig, she was on there as well, and she said her piece. And me and her are trying to actually, we're working together, trying to do some public speaking together is more of the
No, shit. Does she want to get into public
speaking? She wants to, dude. She wants to. And so she wants to work with me, and we have a couple things going on right now.
She'd be great at it.
Yeah, I think we might be getting booked in January for a pretty cool one. And it's all about her, you know, you have the physical and what you see, and you have the internal, which we don't see, you know? And so she's got a great message and you guys already know who she is.
Yeah. Mary Daig, by the way, if you don't follow her, she's awesome. Pop on over to Mary's page. Cause she's great on Facebook.
Amazing.
I've been excited too. I don't know. I want to say this to Rocco as like a brother and a friend. Like he's like really, he's trying to go this, like the speaking route, which is fucking awesome because I think all of us have our like lanes that we're like good in, and you know I'm not a public speaker. I fucking hate it. I can sit in front of a camera and act in front of a fucking 600 person crew, write all day. Doesn't bother me at all. I enjoy it. I love the entertainment piece. You put me in front of like, and I used to be an instructor at that, and have to speak, but like put me in front of 100 people, I don't like it. Like that's why every time if I'm with Jared and I'm not with Rocco, I'm like Jared, please do that because Jared's great at it.
I'm a host. Yeah. I like to host.
You're a host, right? Yeah. But he's more heartfelt where he gives like an honest, you put yourself out there in like crazy.
Very honest, yeah.
I'll put myself out there in a video message, but you're like, you throw it out there. It's fucking cool, man.
Relatability.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what relatability. I think people like,
hey, I've been fucking divorced. I got 4 kids. Here's everything. Cool. You got problems out there that you're worried about? Amplify.
It's funny. Yeah, exactly. It's like, look, here's my life. I've fucked it up plenty of times, yes. And I've fixed it plenty of times. And so I'm going to continue to fuck it up and fix it again.
But again, what I think is so dope, because people, honestly, they completely romanticize like public figures in their eyes. And whether you like it or not, you're a public figure. You're a celebrity in your own culture. And people want you to be perfect. You're not fucking perfect, dude.
No.
None of us are fucking
God,
perfect.
We all
but
know
the fact
that
you're just like, yeah, I'm fucked up. I'm learning every fucking day. I'm just being a good dude. And like, that's fucking rad to me. Cause I'm like, I resonate with that shit where I'm like, you know, you carry the weight of a lot of shit. And you're like, oh man, every day I have to be what people want me to be. Fuck that. I'm going to be who I want to be. I'm going to fuck up, you know?
Yeah. I stop thinking like that. I think like, look, dude. Yeah, like I think I'm on my second divorce. Like, you know how scary it is to try and start another and maybe get a third? It's like, oh my God. Like, right?
That's another thing too, is so many people like, how everything is kind of shaped with us. It's a lot of people come, you know, we get the same thing when they come up. They're like, man, you guys are so real. Every time I meet you, it's like, dude, we haven't changed at all. Like, and don't elevate us to that. Because
I mean, I've had sex with more people since 4 years ago.
Can I smell your dick?
Like one or two more.
But still, it's just like, mostly that comes in our arguments where like, we got into it with those guys like, oh, you're really going to talk like that? It's going to hurt your reputation. No, it's not, motherfucker.
No, it's not. I'm real.
You want me to hide who the fuck I am, bro? Oh, no. I still have 14 fucking years in the military and I fucking went overseas this many times. Fuck you. Like, I will tell you fuck you to your face.
Dude, it's like, weird, dude. It's weird. It's so funny. We're in a culture now where, why can't you be honest, dude? If you only deployed 3 times, fuck. Say you've been deployed 3 times. If you didn't get deployed, well, then fucking say, like, be proud of what the fuck you've done, and that's all you need to be in life,
dude. I want to tell you guys about this, because I was searching for something today, and Ross, you might know what I'm talking about. Bill Burr had
him.
He had a spit. I don't remember. It was about a year ago.
He's got a podcast as well, by the way.
He does, and this is what I was listening to, but I was searching for when he talks about, he's like, I support the troops. I support the troops, but guess what? Not all the troops are good people. Yeah. I don't support the douchebags.
Like, God damn, that's fucking perfect, right?
And so he's talking to me. He's like, hey, if you're a dick, you're a dick. Doesn't matter that you fucking that you serve the military. If you're a dick, I'm gonna tell you you're a dick.
We say that all the time. It's like, dude, just because you're Ranger doesn't mean you're a dope, dude. So, right?
While I was searching for that because I was talking to a guy online that was like, man, I want to help all veterans, and I really wanted to send him that clip to be like, yeah, I'm in the same boat. But it, just because they're a veteran doesn't mean they're a good person.
Well, you walk a severely thin line. you really do. And that's like the detachment, which is really cool about the podcast, because if you put that statement out on like a large median, you'll get fucking eaten alive.
Hammered, yeah.
Right. But the honest reality of it is exactly that. Like, people holistically are like good and bad, I think. Like, you have these, and then just because you exist in whatever demographic or culture you're a part of doesn't change the values and character of your individualism, right? So it's like the fact that you're a fucking piece of shit. Mary Degg said this perfect since we talked about it earlier. If you were an asshole before you lost a limb, you're more of an asshole after the fact. Same thing with celebrities. If you're an asshole before you were a fucking celebrity, you're probably more of an asshole after a celebrity.
Yeah.
And it's like, really what it comes down to, and dude, whatever you said earlier really resonated with me, Rocco, when you said about people in modern day society, it's so hard to be honest with yourself. I swear to God, happiness is found in really just being like, dude, this is who I am. Funny because Alex and I are writing a video about that right now. Like, I kind of want to make it about my life and just like, dude, I fucked up a lot. I've made some horrible bad decisions. I've never been vindictive in my life, but I've made some seriously fucking poor decisions.
You know what the key to our success was in our group is consistency. None of us change.
No, I know Jared's
You know why? Here's we know what our identity is. Yeah, before this even happened, we know who we were. And so it's like, I don't need to change for anyone else. Like, this is me. You either accept me or you fucking don't.
Money, fame, fucking everything, nothing matters to them. We've always been the same.
But that's a good message for people, like on a comfortability level of who you are. It's like when people are like, fucking, my marriage isn't working. This is the worst part of my life. I'm like, are you doing you? I'm being who I want to be. Perfect. Well, then who you thought you married fucking 9 years ago? And listen, you can preach Christian values. I get it. Do whatever you want. But I just believe in happiness. And
100%.
And I think if you have a religion, that's a part of that as well. But like, man, fucking be who you want to be, dude, and then have your friends and family and partners supplement that happiness.
So part of my speech is this, like, even if you're doing life right, it'll still find a way to kick you in the dick.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And that's the reality
of
life.
Always brings the balance down.
Look, I'm trying to do everything I can to be a good fucking dude. Like, and I post something like, wake up and try and be a good fucking dude. Like, just be a good dude. Doesn't mean life is going to be easy.
No, you'll be presented with situations where you probably have to be an asshole once
in a while. And I fucking got shit on in my personal life. And it's like, okay, cool. Brush that shit off and continue being a good motherfucking dude. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah, and by the way, to that point, everybody else also thinks online that we don't have shitty days like everybody else.
Oh, God.
Like,
bro.
Oh, hey, kidding? Everything they must do is awesome. Like today, like, dude, I had a fucking shit day today. I'm getting a new goddamn roof on my house, which costs $7,000.
Hey, Ross, I bet that roofer stayed in your living room too to talk to you about the different types of roof tile that he can put
on.
It's
like, but here's the thing.
Inside joke.
For sure. Yeah. And like, but here's the thing. It's like, dude, not only are you paying for this thing that you're like, Jesus Christ, I could have bought in a fucking Harley Davidson for. But then, you know, I got a deadline today at 5:00. I got a kid who's, you know, in preschool coming home. He's not going to sleep because there's roofers on the house. They're just throwing shit everywhere. And you're like, fuck this. Fuck this whole day. Fuck this whole world. Like, and everybody thinks, you don't have real problems like real people. Like, online, your life looks great. And you're like, great. Nothing's going on with you today. It's not the case. Like, everything else is fucking totally normal in our goddamn days. Like, nothing really changes.
No,
we've never changed. We've never changed.
That's a disconnect. Like, when you look at, like, I've been super poor in my life. I've been okay in months in my life. And like, when I look at things like happiness, what I found the greatest happiness is literally through like quality friends that I know what they're going to do in their life.
Yeah,
absolutely. Having a partner that supports me for the shithead that I am, and then the good that I am.
Is that
Whatever. but that's what matters in life, man. It's like money obviously in certain positions can drastically change your happiness, because if you can't pay fucking rent, your kid is sick, you're worrying about the ER, I get it, but like, there's a point where it's capped, and there also I think it's about like $75,000 or whatever it is a year is about where I don't believe in all that bullshit, but money does not buy happiness. Being famous doesn't buy happiness.
Fuck
it's like,
no, dude,
just be comfortable in your own skin, fucking smile every day, and then fuck haters. That's the way I look at life.
Life has a very good balancing act.
No shit, right?
It finds a way
to humble you.
We're on top of the world with sales and getting on the charts
that's
and everything
our
like that.
Are filled,
but
bro.
Guess what? But it's not even that. It's not even about money. Life will bring your ass back down. Like, okay, cool. You're doing good business wise. Relationship.
Yeah.
Hey. Hi. Yeah.
Bring it down.
Hi. Hello.
Because
you're not allowed.
You are not allowed to be at 100%.
Oh, yeah.
You be at 50.
Yeah.
So you pick and choose.
Everything's perfect. Oh. Well, let's find a way to fuck
your shit up. Your relationship's great. Okay. Cool. You're broke.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Everything's going great. Your left ball has cancer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah.
Ah. Shit.
God damn.
I ignored the email that literally happened another day. We top charts. Range 15 was doing great. I got a fucking signed some shit, and then I got an email. I was like,
charts.
I'm going to ruin your life, Matt. And I was like, I don't even know you, but fuck.
Oh, dude.
It's like, why? Now I'm thinking about this shit.
Bro, I got girls, exes that are just like, hey, remember me? Hi. I'm like, fuck
so,
me.
Back to the Bill Burr thing, Ross. When I was looking for that clip
that I really wanted,
I stumbled across a piece of their podcast called Supporting the Troops. And they're talking about, Bill is going off about how he thinks, and it's really funny because he is going off about how this Navy chick freaks out on him after a show one night and is yelling at him about how she put her life on the line for him. And he's like, she's 55. It's 2010 and this girl's 55 in the Navy. Like, she didn't put her life on the line. And he was like, hey, I want veterans to call in right now. Like, are you pissed off when people that weren't on the front lines risking your life? Yet you have people that were in the Navy or on a boat screaming this like out. So,
Jared,
it was so funny.
What a sensitive.
Jared, I'll tell you a really fucked up story because this just happened to me in the last 2 days. I had to block somebody who was a female veteran who did the exact same shit to me.
Oh shit!
Was sending me like super aggressive emails about getting help for something, and I was friends with her on Facebook, so I thought it was like, oh, all right, cool. We all had the same mutual friends on that shit. And I was like, wait a minute. Finally, I was like, how do I know you? Oh, you don't. Well, I'm a veteran, and I do this, this, and this, and this, and this. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll be happy to try to help, you know, whatever. And the emails kept getting more aggressive, and then she was leaving, like, aggressive, like, comments and, like, posts and things like that. And I was like, man, this is getting too weird. So I unfriended her. And I get a thing the next day that just says, hey, you unfriended me. Why did you do that? And I was blunt about it. I was just like, look, things got really aggressive and you were weird or whatever. She sends me an email back that says, I'm a fucking veteran. I serve for this country.
Fuck.
Dead serious. I serve for this country. I bought 6 tickets for me and my family to see your movie, Range 15. Blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, look. I finally had to send her the Bill Burr email back of like, hey, this is nothing to do with you being a veteran or a civilian. You were just kind of an asshole to me. Like,
that's
all it was. And I go, I'm just not friends with assholes. It doesn't really matter whether you're a veteran asshole or a civilian asshole. Like,
people can get entitlement, right? And I think that exists in anything. It's like, Nick did it too, but like the LEO thing, like we all support law enforcement like crazy, right? Like I believe in the job. I truly believe it's one of the hardest jobs out there. And same here. It's insane. But then like you're going to have asshole cops. And like I think hopefully anybody on a department can acknowledge that. Now, they don't deserve the shit they get from that. But the same with veterans. Just because you did a job for a couple years doesn't mean you have the ability to be a fucking asshole. I judge people on who they are today. Same with that. Like just because you built my fucking house because you're construction worker doesn't have you the ability to try to power play poo like and say I'm a fuck you up build your house motherfucker. You're like, cool, thank you, we're all hustling. As long as if you're doing there's a certain amount of respect that I give obviously for what you've done for this country and being a fucking American, but there is a point of threshold where it's like you're a fucking asshole.
You know what, Matt? And Ross, I had this experience a few months ago. I went to my best friend's wedding from back home. And he had it out in Kingston, Washington. And
Kingston?
Yeah, it was a venue. It was on a Saturday night. It was during the day. And then around, I want to say 8:30, one of the Kitsap County sheriffs showed up. This guy got out acting like a fucking douchebag. And I was standing right there, and this was like the first time this was the first time ever I was just going to throw everything out there and want to attack this dude like that because of the way that he was acting towards everybody. Like, he shows up at an all-adult wedding at around 8 p.m. He is treating everybody like an asshole, like, hey, shut it down. Shut the music off. You guys are done. I got a complaint. And my buddy, is his wedding. He's like, what do you mean you got one complaint? He's like, yeah, I got one complaint. Shut the music off. You guys are done. And this is like a legit wedding venue. It's a garden. And for him to just get out of the car and like attack adults like we're eighth graders having a fucking like fucking frat party, like weird shit. It's like, you're at a wedding, you dumb fuck. Like, there's nothing illegal going on here. Like, cool, you had a neighbor call because of a noise complaint, but he was just acting like a cocksucker. And I literally wanted to just go up to him and be like, all right, cool. You work for somebody. I'll find out who that is tomorrow. I'm going to walk in and we're going to start talking because you showed up here acting like a fucking fuckface. And that pissed me off because he's just treating everybody like a dude.
Absolutely.
Are you talking about a law enforcement officer?
Yeah, he was a sheriff.
But I talked to one of our good friends here in the PD department today in the gym, and he did have a really good point because he always likes to rant. But
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah. But he got into it, and he's like, you know, you jab somebody for fucking 6 months, eventually that right cross is going to come back. And I was like, man, that's a pretty good analogy. It's like, that's why I believe, like, you have to respect the jobs that people do. You respect veterans as a whole, right? Because it's like, as a whole, that is a service that fucking 1% is fucking contributing.
Yeah, combat. Yeah, exactly.
1%. Insane. Such a small percentage that actually stepped up and said, I'm going to serve this country for fucking life and limb and contribute my personal life and everything. Same with law enforcement, where it's like, hey, I'm going to do this job that fucking sucks, but for the benefit of my community and my, you know, state or whatever municipality you're working at. But at the end of the, like, you can still get pushed to a limit every single day when someone's going to be like, hey, fuck you for 6 months, where you might act out emotionally. Everybody's a human. And I think there needs to be a little more leeway with that. And it's a hard scope, man, because you can see both sides.
It was rude because I get it when cops get upset. You get a cop gets upset when someone's blatantly breaking law and then they want to make excuses for it. Like, I get that. Like you pull someone over for a ticket, right, and they automatically act like an asshole. It's like, dude, you're the one that just broke the law. Why are you going to be a dick? You show up to a place with nothing but adults, and you jump out of the car like you literally are busting up a college party. It's like, fuck off, dude. This is a wedding. Like, if you tell us to be a little quieter or, hey, turn the music down, like, we will cordially comply. Like, don't get out of the car like you're the fucking greatest thing ever. And it's like, get the fuck back in there, you fuck face.
You know what I do is I usually go when I get pulled over, I tuck my dick and I say, would you fuck me? It has not worked out for me. I've been arrested 7 times for that.
So anybody that's in the Kitsap County Sheriff Office, that dude was a douche.
Yeah, Jared. Super specific. Fuck him.
Super douche.
Super specific. Jared, you might as well fucking call out his badge number.
I don't even
know
it.
Like,
I wish
Christ.
I did. I would love to.
It's Kenneth poke him in the Stevenson. Chest. Yeah, it's Kenneth Stevenson, 918 fucking Martin Road. Like, you might as well call out his whole
he
shit.
He was just mean. He was just, he was no reason to be mean, especially like,
I get it. He should join Drinking Bros and become a nicer person.
Yeah, he should.
I think he should.
That's
the
solution.
People's lives.
We've had a huge
can
influx.
That be a new slogan? Drinking Bros, the coolest motherfuckers on the planet. Can we make that?
Hey, so
I'm saying like collectively.
Yeah,
we're at like 30 something.
Dude, so today, so obviously on the Adam and Chat, every single group we have had a major influx. Not sure who shared what happened, but every single group had over 50 new personnel.
Wow.
Well, hey, Rocco, I'll tell you what I think it is, because you mentioned it earlier. You did a talk with Drinking Bros about you know, your whole shit and everything you do, and like and it helps because everybody's like, oh shit, these guys really hang out and like talk to us. I joined Drinking Bros Nerds, had a fantasy football league. I joined that, and I am currently housing everybody in that league like I predicted I would. But we actually do shit with everybody in the group. So, like, oh, all absolutely. Of us collectively. Oh,
yeah. Hold on. I'm a little fucking mad at the nerds.
You just had Travis, though, visit you guys for the Clinton show.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But I'm mad at the nerds. Yes.
Why?
Mad at the nerds.
You guys better hear this. Tommy.
Oh, shit. Tommy.
Yeah, well, Junior.
Okay, check this
Jenna.
Out. Because I played Diablo
Jenna.
3.
Jenna.
I played Diablo 3. We had about 15 people in our clan. And I don't.
My sister's name's Jenna.
Is she scared in a tornado or what? You fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was going to go fake. But no, I play Diablo 3 once in a while and very seldomly. But when I do, get on there for a little bit. We have a Drinking Bros Nerds clan. And I went to Utah for 3 weeks to square away some business stuff. I come back. They all quit and they're playing World of Warcraft. I'm like, bro.
God damn them.
Why'd they leave?
Wow.
They left me. They left me. You know, I'm feeling sad over here. I still got Brad. I got Luce that I play with, so they're all cool.
Dudes.
Just two dudes now play Diablo. It's fun.
They're so talented at the shit they do. Like we did
it's
that.
Insane.
We did that live. Like so, we started Drinking Bros live so we can have the live podcast, and then it's so anyone could share it from that page because it's kind of like an open forum,
right?
And dude, what they do, dude, they do some cool ass shit. Like where James and Mary ran the last one, and so James is talented as fuck. So he was able to put my image as well as like all these other Rocco cool shit like Taco. It's fucking dope,
Taco.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
And so hey, and they also did a Jeopardy one, and a couple of us made videos for their Jeopardy.
Yeah, I made a video for that one.
So did I. So we're all in there. And by the way, Drinking Bros is actually a subgroup on Facebook. You can join it. And we're on it all the time.
That's the world. That's the world we live in right now, man.
That's
It is. And it's fucking awesome, by the way. Like,
that's the best group ever.
I mean, they came out. I just got back from a Columbus, Ohio screening. It was packed.
Yeah, tell us about the Columbus stuff, man, because I got a lot of messages.
I did
people
too,
like,
dude.
I wish
tons,
you were there.
Tons.
Like,
so, dude, it was so out of control. So I went to the Ohio State University. There is a huge Drinking Bros contingency in the state of Ohio. So they all came down for a Range 15 screening. Mind you, the movie was out on Amazon and iTunes and Blu-ray already. Everybody's already seen the movie. They've already had access to the movie. And they're like, man, I just want to come and hang out with you in person and meet you guys. Like Jesse Wiseman was there. I was there. And we show up. Dude, they were not expecting this. It was 200 people in their fucking bar inside the theater.
Damn.
And Columbus. Yeah. And not only that, but one of them had just won a guy I dedicated Drinking Bro of the Week, Mr. Richard Dernoff. He had just won $2,000 at a casino right before he came in. So he bought the entire bar shots beforehand. All the Drinking Bros, they all got to meet each other. They all got to hang. We all went to his tailgate the next day. And all of them had, you know, the next morning had said the same thing online where they were like, man, I didn't know so-and-so and so-and-so lives here. Now I got to meet them. Now I want to hang out with them. Now we're doing shit like all the time. And it was awesome to see. And it's such an awesome community. Everybody's cool. Everybody's friendly to each other. Everybody helps each other. You know, drinks, fucking drugs,
Drugs,
whatever. Like, oh yeah, help, like, yeah.
Whoa. I've never done those.
There was a few guys who were just like, hey man, they were smoking weed in the parking lot, and it was like, are you drinking, bro? Yeah, I'm a drinking bro. They were smoking weed together, and it was like, oh shit. Like,
hey,
that was like
smoking
their
bros?
Way in of like, me? Dude, it was awesome. But they were all wearing like the Drinking Bros podcast T-shirts. Article 15 t-shirts, Range 15 t-shirts, and it was like their way of like, oh yo, like, are you cool enough? And it was like, yeah, I'm cool enough. And it was like, all right, awesome. I mean, people were drinking till 4 a.m. They were up the next day at the tailgate till 9 a.m. It was so out of control that the theater put the movie into the biggest it could possibly go. The screening itself was like Rocky Horror Picture Show. They quoted each and every single person's line in the film.
It's so fucking rad.
Don't tell Heather. Yeah. Dude,
don't tell Heather.
Matt, your bottle scene in the ass, like, people were, I mean, literally everybody was like, oh my God, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Like, it was, my parents flew up. My parents flew up. And my parents were like, this was the most impressive screening out of every single movie you've ever done that I've been to, where it's like, there's never been people who have just been so genuinely excited to be there. They quote every single line from every single character in the movie.
I got something. Oh shit! I got something good. Ross.
Yeah. It was just incredible. It was incredible.
December 10th. If we can get everyone there, we're doing a full-on costume dressed like your favorite hero in Arizona.
I got a message about that.
Yeah, Arizona Drinking Bros. Yeah. Range 15.
I'm going to be sad because everybody's going to be Ross Patterson.
We're going to have to fly quick from because we're doing Fort Bragg on December 7th.
I know. So right away,
what?
Turn
what are we doing?
That's the JSOC.
That's the JSOC. Yeah.
We're special guests.
Yeah. Hey, is that North Carolina?
Yes, that's Fort Bragg.
You're goddamn
Ross.
Right it is.
You will
come
be
on,
there,
dude. Come on,
you will
on,
be there
dude.
In Army Greens, Ross.
Yes, I will. I will be there. I will be there with you guys, by the way.
I'm telling you right now, December 10th, let's lock this in now. If you can get the tickets, guys, if you're listening right now, Arizona is having another hosting of Range 15, and this is a full-on costume party. I'm actually hiring a makeup artist to dress up a girl as my fucking zombie.
Just fly Rachel out.
No. I got a whole different special.
Did you see
show.
The video?
Why, your actual
did you
wife,
see the?
Your
did you see the video
wife,
she posted yesterday?
Dude, she's so rad.
That was funny as fuck. Yeah. She gave you a lot of.
It.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it. What did she post?
She posted a video in Drinking Bros. She was hammered. She was like explaining to my civilian friends what Range 15 is, and she just went down this.
Is this Rachel or who's this?
Rachel Hardesty.
Okay.
So. She goes
down
this
diatribe. By the way, for those who are listening, she played Rocco's gas station zombie.
You know, it's funny. Yes. If I ever make a comment, she always comments right back about the gas station. I'm the zombie. I'm like, oh, shit. She's so
it
rad.
It was really funny. It was like Matt Best is like the coolest and hottest and way better Stifler in this world. And then she's like, Ross Patterson is the funniest and most creative director I know. And she just goes down this giant list. She goes, JT, he's fat as shit, but he has real nice eyes.
Oh my
what
God.
A dick. Fuck you, Rachel. I'm not that fat.
Gosh, the thing is, by the way, Jared, I know we said this before, but it's totally true. You're not that fat in real life.
I know, but that's why it's so funny.
He's not. That's why it's so fucking funny, dude. He's not that fat. Dude,
he has a dad bod. That's it.
I've been fatter than him, and it's still we're like, JT's the fat one.
It just shows on camera.
You know what's funny?
For some
Here's the
reason.
Funny thing. So we started that way back in the day, like the second fattest, because the first fattest was always who? Cody Ciazza.
That's how it started.
That's where it started. So Cody was like, I'm fine with being the fattest in the group. He's fine, but who's the second fattest? And it was either me or Jared.
We'd go back and forth.
Yeah.
But you lifted weights, so it was like,
right,
it was cool.
Different. I had like that buff fat.
Rocco, you're able to hide all your weight because you're so big
chest
and
shoulders.
Muscular.
Yeah, chest
it's
and
like,
shoulders.
All right, cool. Yeah.
Wait, so for this Arizona meetup, what do we do? For us, do we dress up?
Bro, I'm shaving my head and going full mustache. I'm going Rocco. Bro.
No way.
I'm not spiking my hair.
I'm going full Rocco, dude.
Damn.
I'll do shorts.
I'll do shorts and fucking bandana.
Do it.
Oh, dude, I've got my costume.
Here's what we need to do. We need to get this on the news. We need to get fucking reporters there.
All of us, we're back. Straight up.
The boys are back in town.
Am I a douche if I don't go as my character?
Fuck you, bro. Who are you going to go
Matt,
with?
Matt, wait. Are you
wait,
never
wait,
spiking
what if you
your
go
hair
as
again?
Vanaham?
Is that over?
What if you go as Vanaham and Ross comes as you?
I will do that. Ross.
Ross, can you grow a beard?
That's a no. Oh shit!
I can't grow a fucking beard. That's you know that. I'm Ashton Kutcher, like patchy.
Yeah, but we love your baby face, man. It is sexy and talented. So
I know, but I can't grow a fucking beard. That's my. I can grow a mustache as thick as Rocco's, but I cannot grow a beard.
That's hard.
That's hard.
That's awesome.
No, that's true. By the way, that's true. Like I can send you a picture. There was another movie I did where I had to grow a mustache that big. I would venture to say it was thicker than yours, Rocco. No lie. I'll send you the picture.
Really?
You tell me. Oh, yeah. You tell me.
You know what I would like, actually, no offense, is to have a mustache off with you because I have an insanely powerful mustache.
I don't know how my...
November, by the way, is mustache month for cancer.
Let's do it in November. Do you see this thing? It's already starting to grow back.
It's thick. You got a thick mustache.
It's gross.
I'm not saying mine is great. I just, when I shave my beard, I was like, holy shit, that's a big mustache.
It's a good mustache. It's jet black.
Let's go the entire... Like for November, because everybody, by the way, everybody does mustaches in November, men for testicular cancer.
I'm not shaving my.
I do that.
Movember.
Movember. I do it.
Movember. How
about this? I'll do it. I will trim my beard to a normal 3 like I do, but I'll just keep growing my mustache.
I'll do a mustache for November. I've got to go to drill.
Oh, God. Gross.
I got to go to drill on November 2nd, but I will rock a mustache for November.
Right after
really?
That.
Really?
So,
really?
So, yeah. So right around, I'll tell you what. So right around Thanksgiving, we'll have a mustache off. And we'll post all 4 of our mustaches on Facebook.
We'll do that.
Absolutely.
I'm scared.
All right, cool.
You know what we'll do? We'll also get all the Drinking Bros involved in this. Let's start our own group.
Let's do the Drinking Bros mustache thing.
So what happens is you start your own team.
Yeah.
So we'll start our own Drinking Bros team.
We should start a mustache team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
We
should.
It's like a Jamaican bobsled team.
And we raise mad money.
A Jamaican bobsled team.
We do our thing for the community. We raise mad money.
Let's do it. We have weird beards, weird mustaches, and we fucking do it.
I'm
going to do the beard with a mustache. I'll trim the beard, then grow the mustache out.
No, you shave the chin, and it's just mustache to chops.
No.
I'm like French.
Yeah,
you fucking French fag.
Do you not remember when I did that video? Whatever it was, fucking facial hair of a man or some shit. I don't remember, but I had the fucking chops. Those things are on point.
Those are good.
That's how you piss off a Canadian soldier.
How is that?
I learned this from experience because I just figured out how to get under their skin.
You're a dick.
Because I was on a joint exercise and we were all drinking outside and we were standing in the desert by the tents and I was like, hey, all you guys are pretty much like French, right?
Oh, no way.
And he was like, no, I'm not fucking French. And I was like, nah, I mean, technically, you guys are all pretty much French. And he was like, I just said I ain't fucking French, eh?
Oh,
and I was like,
shit.
I was like, I don't know if I believe you. And then my buddy came over. He was like, hey, where should I put this case? I go, I don't know. Ask that French guy over there. And he was like, fuck you, motherfucker.
Hey,
that's how you piss off a Canadian. Call him French.
Call him French.
That's really fun. Hey, and by the way, real quick, before we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, I want to say this. We had chatted last episode about the isolation chamber. Dude, God bless the Drinking Bros. I got an email about it that they were opening up an isolation chamber in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I've got an appointment tomorrow. I'm going to go and do it.
We'll talk about it on the next episode. I missed that real quick. The isolation chamber is just you're by yourself. It's quiet as fuck, right? Joe Rogan does this, correct?
Joe Rogan does it. So I had mentioned it on the maybe two or three podcasts ago. And like, the show comes out, I think at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night before the previous day or whatever. And literally an hour and a half later, somebody hit me up and was like, hey, man, I know what you're talking about. And they have these in different cities. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I thought Joe Rogan just paid for this himself. And it was like, they did, but they're popping up in different cities now. And so I got it. The one came to Wilmington and I'm going, it opens up tomorrow and I've got an appointment tomorrow morning. I will be the first one in their isolation chamber because of Drinking Bros podcast.
That sounds like you're going to die, but let us know.
It's supposed to be therapeutic as fuck, dude. Complete sense deprivation.
I can't do that. I couldn't do that.
I know you couldn't do that, Jerry.
You would lose your mind.
There's no phones, no nothing. They seal you in there for an hour, and then they open it up afterward.
God, why?
And apparently you lose sense of time, so you don't know how long you're in there, and it's just you in a cold, dark world. So I'm really fascinated. I love this type of shit, so I'm amped about it. But
hey, we're on the same page with this, Rock. So we've talked about other things we want to do together, and this is one.
Yeah, you know, like weird, gay stuff.
Oh yeah,
gay stuff.
Yeah. What like
pegging?
Gay 69. Oh shit! Hey, that's our food.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a Grubhub guy?
Yeah,
here?
We got a Grubhub here. So
a lot of people think we're in a fancy studio, but we're not.
I know
we're
we have
Matt's
my
house and Ross's house doing the podcast is where we're at.
Come here, girl.
That would be my German Shepherd, so she's ready
she's
to eat
just,
people.
Tell
the audience what your German Shepherd's name is, Matt.
Bremmy. Oh,
let me grab her real quick.
Bremmy, come here. Come here. Hey. What we got?
Her name is Bremmy, and she is named after a teammate of mine back from Ranger Battalion. She is a crazy little bitch, but awesomely protective. I have her trained from the local police department here, so she likes to eat faces, but then we'll kiss your face until you smile. So she's a sweetheart.
So, hey, whose Grubhub is that? Is that Jared's?
That was Rocco's and Jared's. I'm over here eating meal prep earlier.
I know you are, Matt,
hitting some wong
tongs. You and I keep shit polite. Those two go off the fucking rails.
Hey, I'm hanging out with the boys for the first time in a while. This feels great. I'm celebrating on my own.
Boom. I'm not judging, bro.
Hey.
Listen, we need no, those no, shoulders no, look, to grow.
Nobody's judging. It's fucking awesome. Hey, but with that, let's get to the drinking bro of the week. This week, it's a broette, actually. It was submitted by Heather Garner. She says, I'd like to nominate my mother as the drinking bro of broettes. Excuse me, broette of the week. On March 28th, she was diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer. She is the strongest, kindest, and most selfless woman you will ever meet. The other day, she was going for her 4th chemo treatment. She stopped to take time out to call me and tell me how much she loved me, believed in me, and most importantly, how proud of me she was. And no matter what, God, man, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little choked up reading this. That morning, I was heading for my WAPS test. I was literally in tears in the parking lot before heading in. Maybe I'm just biased, but she is just one badass motherfucker. And I just want to celebrate the last day of her chemo, which was August 30th. She writes in and she says, I just want everybody to know I love her because it shows that neither cancer nor chemo could break her spirits. She kept her faith, her courage, and most importantly, her sense of humor. Fuck cancer. Heather Garner, that's one of
God
the
damn man.
I know one of the best emails I've
beaten us
we've
up
gotten
over
to
her.
The show. I know it's one of the best emails we've gotten to the show, and it's not tears. It's just allergies right now that I've got. So
that's badass, man. Way to show your love back at it. So
yeah. So hey, thank you, Heather Garner. We appreciate it. This was a fun show, man. It's nice. It's great having you back, Rocco.
Thank you, brother. Dude, it's a blast to have my boys back, man. It feels good.
Sorry about the dog, guys. Everybody thinks we have a crazy good studio. We're always traveling, so we make it work.
We do this from our houses. Yeah, we do this from our houses. We're real dudes.
I'll tell you what. We posted a picture of Bremmy because she was supposed to be a special guest on the show, on the podcast, right? I think you did, Ross, or you're going to?
Yeah, I posted it on my Instagram. So if you go to at STJames, you'll see a picture of Bremmy and Matt Best.
Hanging
prepping
out
for the Drinking Bros podcast tonight. And for Jared Taylor, Rocco, Mr. Matt Best, and Ross Patterson, we are out of here.
Love
Let's
you guys.
Go let Jared eat his Grubhub.
All the way up. Weed him, boys. Weed him, boys.
Weed him, boys.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.